The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
And we are live today in Chicago. We are in downtown Chicago tonight. The Suns game two for Kevin Durant against the Bulls. We'll have Cassidy Hubbard from ESPN and ABC. You will see Cassidy on the national broadcast on Sunday. And with the Suns in Dallas against Luka, Kyrie, and the Mavs, we'll have Cassidy with us. We'll chop it up. That will be in a few minutes. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. On the road with the Suns, Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Game two for Kevin Durant tonight. That is why we are here in Chicago. We are in Charlotte. Just following the story along the way, what are we looking forward to tonight? The Bulls have a big... Vucevic is averaging 17 points, 11 boards a game. Why do I go right there? Here's a team that's in an 11th place in the Eastern Conference, a team that looks like they're cashing it in. They picked up Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley had some words the other night for their center. DeMar DeRozan had to separate the two. Reportedly, we weren't here, just going off what is on the outside looking in. I bring it up because I think that you're going to see Durant. You know, the other night they played against a team that's not going anywhere in Charlotte. Tonight they're going up against a team that's right there teetering, not going anywhere in the Bulls. But the Bulls do have a big. He's averaging 17 and 11. There's going to come a point. I look at everything not as to what happens tonight here. I look at everything from what will happen in early May, late May, and June. So the other night the Suns had lineups on the floor where there were four reserves and Kevin Durant. Pretty interesting to watch because in both stretches, the Suns were able to increase their lead with Kevin Durant and four reserves. Monty Williams played 11 guys in the first half at Charlotte. It was one of those games you just look at and say, well, they're going to win. It's just a matter by how much and what do they really want to accomplish here? Durant played almost 27 minutes. How many minutes will he play tonight? He is on a limit minutes restriction. How many minutes will he go tonight? Very fair question to ask. But this is building towards when they get into a playoff series, they're not going to play 11 guys. Like this bench is going to get shortened. And I think one of the keys with Kevin Durant is you could put him in the middle for a few minutes. So there's going to come a point if DeAndre Ayton gets in foul trouble, whether it's tonight or at some point, do you slide Durant over to play the five? Do you slide Durant over and he gets some minutes there? It's the versatility of what makes him so amazing to watch. So I'm looking forward to that. I kind of hope, actually, that there's some games where Ayton gets in foul trouble just so you can see this. How will it work? He had to play some five and for some minutes while he was in Brooklyn. So as the bench shortens, and I don't know if that means the bench is going to get shortened too, eight players, seven players, but something like that, I think, is in playoff series, you know, it's matchups. When they play Denver, if they play Denver, you're going to have that opportunity because Joker's going to be out there alongside of Ayton. Ayton's going to get in foul trouble at some point, probably in a series. If you're just trying to get through the West, you have to look at each and every one of those matchups. Early on impressions here on the road, I had breakfast this morning with someone with the Suns, and they were talking about the people showing up now at the hotel on the road, that it's similar to when Shaq and Nash were here with the Suns. Similar. In that their fans are just showing up. It's like the Beatles all over again. And the other night when I left the arena at Charlotte and I walked back to the hotel, the Suns bus at a lower level than the arena, and there's like a chain link fence, but there's walls on the chain link fence, except for like a little, I don't know, like 3 feet. And people are holding their kids up, hanging onto the wall, looking at the chain link fence, trying to look down to see Kevin Durant. So the whole fandom thing has become part of the story. His first home game that he will play in, unless something happens Sunday in Dallas or tonight, will be against Sacramento on Wednesday. That will be a circus. Will be a circus. It'll be one of those games where everybody who's anybody or people that are fans of the Suns are going to want to be there, to be part of it. All the Suns gear that I saw the other night in Charlotte, I saw Kevin Durant Team USA. I saw Kevin Durant Seattle, I saw Kevin Durant. Oklahoma City, they play the Thunder twice before they're done. There are going to be a lot of fans that are going to want to get a piece or a look at Kevin Durant. They play the Lakers still a couple times. So the whole circus that I've heard about, that I've seen some here on this road trip, that's why I'm here. I want to take things in. I want to watch Durant's warm-up. I saw that the other night. It was unbelievable. It was like Steve Nash. It was very similar. Like Steve Nash would finish practice, and we'd be down on the practice court, and he'd be jumping off of one foot and doing twists and turns that were just kind of awkward looking, but there was no one around. And then in the game, he'd do the same thing. Durant, the other night, 2 hours before first, about an hour and 45 minutes, actually, until the tip, hour 50 minutes thereabouts, he was doing some of the same stuff as Nash used to do. So I love watching greatness when they warm up. Pretty easy during the game just to see what's going on. And yeah, you lean forward a little bit. But that's my thing on being on the road with them. And it's been great taking in the experience and checking it out. How much will he play tonight? We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to do this show with you on Monday from here because I got a snow alert that my flight might be in trouble. That's going to be half the fun of traveling more with them. Because I'm not just going to stop at this. I mean, I'm going to be at every road game, but I'm going to be at more. It's for sure on that. Partners like it. Audience likes it. Within reason. It's not showing up here just to say, oh, this is all great. Like, no, there's stories here that are interesting to me. And sitting the other night in Charlotte and chopping it up with Brian Windhorst or chopping it up with Cassidy Hubbard, that's what we do. You know, bring you big names and not just sit here and dink around on stuff. So that's what's going on here with the Suns. Last night, I did not watch the ASU game. I did not watch the Arizona game. I did what every good dad would do when they're in a town where their daughter is. I went to dinner and asked the daughter, where should we go? We went to this place called Asheval that is big-time hamburgers, and it was packed. It was packed at 9:45 last night. The vibe of being in a big city rather than the streets being rolled up, it was kind of fun. So I get back, and I got people saying, can you believe the Sun Devils blew it? Like, the amount of this with Arizona State basketball, it is what it is. They win 19, they win 20, they win 21, maybe get a little bit more than that. They're not going to be a top seed. They're not even going to be in a top 10 seed. And they got jackstomped by UCLA. That's what happens. That's how it goes with the Sun Devils usually. U of A, on the other hand, they bounce back. USC played them tough. So, I mean, really, for ASU, tomorrow is a must-win game. Must-win game. It is. You win the game, now you have an argument. The way you lost last night doesn't help your argument. Didn't follow it up after the victory in Tucson. Not being harsh, just being factual. You're on the bubble again. That's how it works. Do I think that's a reason to get rid of Bobby Hurley? No, I've been straightforward in my stance. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? It's a program that this is what they are. This is who this is the Denny Green. We are who we thought they were. Okay? They have not punched through to be a 27, 28, 29. They have not done that. Doesn't mean it's a bad program. It's just this is what they do for basketball. And it's not a priority for the president of the university. Otherwise, they would not be playing in a dump. They would have followed through on the things they were supposed to follow through on and given Bobby all the tools to work with, which maybe would result in better recruiting, better money coming in, and all that stuff. It's funny how that works. John Wilner, who comes on with us every week, well, I'll save this. I'll save this for after because we have Cassidy Hubbard coming up. So we'll step aside here from Chicago, and Cassidy Hubbard with ESPN and ABC. She will be doing the sidelines with Dave Pasch and Hubie Brown Sunday for the matchup between the Mavs and the Suns. That's on Sunday. We're back here in Chicago after this timeout. Cassidy Hubbard and Brad together again. I'm in Chicago, actually, because the Suns are playing tomorrow night here against the Bulls. You're a Chicago gal. I'm going to take my daughter to Mart Anthony's Italian dinner. Am I going to the right spot, first and foremost? And then we'll get into what you're doing next week, which is really cool. It's all female broadcast. We'll get into KD with Pasch and Hubie on Sunday and Suns and all that stuff. But I need dinner reservation suggestions.
You know what's really sad? So People ask me this all the time. Yeah. And I haven't lived in Chicago in 13 years. So while I know the OG spots, The thing about Chicago is that it is always reinventing itself in the culinary scene. And I'm proud of it. Like, I think I'm in New York right now. I think Chicago goes toe to toe with New York in terms of, you know, the restaurants that they have out there. So I don't even know the restaurant you just named. But I think you're gonna be happy, because one thing Chicagoans know what how to do, they know how to dress for cold weather and they know how to eat. So I think you'd be good.
And when it's your daughter that you're sitting across from, it doesn't matter. I can tell you that as a father of four. It just doesn't matter. It's the fact that dad wants to eat with her before he does the sun stuff tomorrow night. All right, before we get into all the sun stuff, mm-hmm. next Wednesday, ESPN is doing something that I think is so cool. It's yourself, Beth, Doris, all female production, producer, director. Tell us about it without me going all through it. What is this all about?
Well, look, I mean, it happened last year as well. It is Women's History Month. So, you know, I think it's truly just like any other game, because these are people who work games every single year and every single week. Doris obviously is one of our, if not the best analysts we have, you know, on our MBA product. You know, Beth is a legend in her own right. And she, you know, she joined the MBA team last year, and you know, is amazing. Every single game I've worked with her, she's like an encyclopedia for someone who's, you know, not on as many games as, like, say, our regular analysts. Lori Privatera, who's our producer, I've been working with her on NBA games for, you know, as long as I've been on NBA games, which is close to 9 years now. So, you know, you have a lot of experienced women. We just happen to all be on the same game, and I guess like that to me is ultimately like the celebration that I'm hoping we get to when we're really at this Women's History Month is just equality, and not, you know, stopping everything and saying, wow, how special this is, because, you know, it's not technically special because we all are doing games and doing our jobs. So, you know, I think it's going to be awesome that I get to work with all these ladies on one game. But I think, you know, where we're at right now is just actually flexing ESPN in general, is that we have all these women. So why not put them all together during Women's History Month, just to show, like, we've been here. A lot of women have been in prominent roles, and, you know, like, might as well participate in this acknowledgement, but it's something that we do, you know, year round.
It's great you put it that way. I was sitting with one of our people, and she brought up, she feels like she has imposter syndrome, and she's young and she's super talented and she's super good. And I said, I think that's kind of normal, and you just got to put it off to the side. And I told her to look at your journey, and Doris's journey, and Beth's journey. And there's people in my space now in their late 50s, I've said, this person and I used to compete, and now we work alongside one another. And so, and I think giving some young ladies the opportunity to look at it that are in their 20s, few years out of college, and say, go watch what Cassidy's doing and take in her journey.
Yeah. I mean, look, imposter syndrome is something that we all deal with. Like, I'm, you know, I'm fortunate to call, you know, Doris one of my dear friends. And, you know, it's even something that she's dealt with, because I think, you know, oftentimes when we feel like we're, you know, not deserving of a role that we have, is, you know, when you're feeling like you may not be as prepared, or, you know, nervous to kind of step into an opportunity. And, you know, I have that almost daily, you know, because when you're juggling so much, I think even like being at ESPN for 13 years and covering the NBA for nine, it's just like, even with all the reps that you constantly hear people say is like what you need. And I, like, that's something that when I first started out on like the SportsCenter desk, you know, I didn't want to hear it. You know, like, all you need is reps. You just need to go through situations. You need to like experience failure or mistakes in order to have that roadmap in the future. You know, so like if that situation or when that situation pops up, like you won't stumble. And so it's hard for people to kind of like wrap their head around, all right, I need to go through these situations. I need to fail. I need to, you know, like make mistakes in order to like get an opportunity. Cause what, you know, this is coming from someone who's like suffers from, you know, trying to be perfect all the time. It's just something you need to do in order to, you know, the next opportunity you have seize it. Because you're not worried that, you know, your sound's going to go out or, you know, your producer's going to accidentally like key you and yell in your ear while you're talking to Kevin Durant, or, you know, you accidentally say the wrong stat, you know, on air. So it's just those things you got to go through. And, you know, there's no substitution, really.
It's good stuff. And Cassie, it's really, really good stuff to bring up, because it can be a lonely business on a lot of fronts for a lot of people. You go from hotel to hotel to city to city, you dial 9 when you get home. Your kids are like, where you been? What are you doing? So yeah. No, it's great stuff. Okay, Sunday. We'll get to the fun stuff now. Do you get geeked up a little bit more for this Sunday that Durant is actually going to have a couple games under his belt? And
yeah,
look, I mean, you saw them last Sunday and he's sitting there in Milwaukee. That's one thing. It's another thing when he's there against Luka and going at it.
Yeah, and Kyrie, which, you know, obviously is the story behind the story with the Mavs-Suns matchup, you know, given that, like, what you have with Dallas is they're struggling with those two together. And, you know, they're trying to figure out like if they are a fit, whereas, you know, we're in the honeymoon phase with KD and the Suns right now. And, you know, I think it's fair to say it's a little easier to work Kevin Durant into a team than it is maybe Kyrie Irving. And that's, you know, not even talking about his mercurial personality. That's more just about Kevin Durant being, you know, Kevin Durant and one of the greatest scorers of all time. So I, you know, I'm really excited to see how he looks out there. I think it couldn't have worked out any better for them to, you know, go up against the Charlotte Hornets on the road, not a nationally televised game for KD's first game. You know, that was by design. They had 2 days off in Charlotte ahead of time. And that's basically the information I gathered when I was in Milwaukee. You know, they wanted just some more run together and more 5-on-5, and also, you know, just see, you know, how KD, his knee was going to, you know, withstand, you know, going at it on a 5-on-5 basis and all of that. Because, you know, Monty Williams said if he were a younger guy, then he probably would have been playing like off the bat. But, you know, you got to be conscious of, you know, wanting to make sure that Kevin is healthy and not having a setback, because there's only a finite amount of time you have here, a very short amount of games, you know, just 20 games or so left, that they're going to need to gel in order to, you know, make a deep playoff run, which is basically the expectation for this team. So I'm excited to see him play on Sunday. You know, and I really am excited to see how him and Devin Booker are going to gel going forward.
Yeah. I was in Charlotte. I had Windhorse on the show and we were sitting together. The Athletic was there and the reporter, beat writer for the Arizona Republic, and that was it. That was the day of game. Right before the game, Monty does his media deal, and the room's just packed. And he looks around, he's like, it's about time you guys showed up. And so I can only imagine what it will be like on Sunday.
Yeah.
Kyrie mess. Can you give the fans an idea of process behind the scenes to prep for that game in your relationship with Kevin Durant in the past? And what it's been like, and how do you pull him aside? Do you pull him aside? What's the process like?
I'm actually going through that right now with my producer. You know, it's like, you know, that may be the disadvantage of being a national reporter, because you're flying into different cities, you know, for every game, as opposed to being on a beat and having like an inside track and knowing step by step what's going on with each team. But, you know, I'm not flying in until Saturday. I'm waiting to find out, as you know, like if the Suns are going to practice in Dallas Saturday night. You know, I booked a later flight, so I may need to book an earlier flight. So it's all that kind of, you know, logistics moving around that. And it's an early tip. And, you know, these guys are creatures of habit. So it's hard when, you know, you're already condensed their whole day and how they wrap up. There's no nap, there's no no shoot around. So, you know, some guys have, you know, strict rules that they don't talk on game day. So I, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get access to Kevin Durant or Devin Booker, or, you know, maybe just have to talk to Monty Williams. So it's just gathering and putting that puzzle together in terms of my report, because obviously I'm going to be talking about KD and obviously I'm going to be talking about Kyrie. So, you know, I have a lot because there's a lot on these guys, but it's about wanting to, you know, like you said, have my own access. So we will see. That's the puzzle I'm currently trying to map out with my producer.
Yeah, and this doesn't sound like an easy show either, if I'm just getting inside baseball with the listening audience, because you have the Kyrie side, you have the mm-hmm. Durant side. They're going to get off the bus. They're, like you said, creatures of habit. You're going to have like this little window, it sounds yeah. like, where you're just hoping to get one or the other, or if they don't practice yeah. or they do shoot on Saturday night, maybe you can get some stuff. And that's right. that's people don't see that behind the scenes, and then you're able to pull it off with a Blom, because you're sitting there working alongside of Dave and Hubie, and they may have some stuff for you. So that little chemistry has got to work together too in your prep, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the tale of the sideline reporter is you prepare, you know, 25 stories and you get in two. You know, like that's just the name of the game. But, you know, you may use those stories down the line. Like, I'm going to push my Ish Wainwright story again if he goes off in Sunday's game, because I had a chance to talk to him last weekend. But it's very rare that I, you know, have a situation where, you know, I have a team like twice in a week where I can carry things over from, you know, my conversations from last weekend. But, you know, I was able to talk to both Devin and Chris about, you know, their anticipation for KD. So hopefully I can expand on that, because, you know, Chris talked a lot about just, you know, how long he's known KD, you know, and they were together in the five-star camp, and, you know, like to have a guy, you know, similar in age. You know, Chris was, of course, on the Thunder before he joined the Suns. And, you know, he's been that like elder statesman, not just like on the teams that he's been on lately, but just like in the league in general, you know, as the former president of the Players Association. But to have a guy like Kevin Durant, you know, a veteran, if you will, on the team, because, you know, he put it to me like, the age difference between him and Devin is the same age difference between Devin and little Chris. Mm. So that's, yeah, I may use that on Sunday. So if that sounds familiar, if you're listening to it, but, you know, like just to have that, you know, another guy who's been in the league and have seen a lot as much as Kevin Durant has seen, I think is refreshing in a way for 37-year-old Chris Paul.
Okay, I'll get you out of here off this. When you look at the Suns and what Kevin threw one game, obviously, and mm-hmm. you look at the West, outside of injury, is this a team that you would say should be in the finals or in the semis? The fans in Phoenix are going to want a yes. I'm kind of like, guys, I can't predict injuries. I can't predict it. I think that's,
I don't know if injuries is really even where you go with that, because it's just like they have the talent, right? You know, but it's 20 games and then it's playoffs. Like, I think even the most talented teams, you know, like it's not just about, of course it's about health, but health issues can happen to anyone, you know. It's about chemistry. It's about understanding each other's tendencies. It's about communication. I mean, these, like every single moment of playoff games are tense. And so, you know, like when you're performing at this level, you have to be able to communicate effectively and quickly. And sometimes that's communicating without even communicating. So we know that CP and Devin have that connection, but when you've got a guy who's a high usage guy, who's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and, you know, you're still getting to know his tendencies playing on the same side of the ball, like, is that going to click in time? And, you know, I just think it's short-sighted to just assume just because they have the talent and they have Kevin Durant, that, you know, like they should figure it out by now. I mean, that you can't say that about some teams who have superstars the whole entire year. So, I mean, my expectations are high for this team because you have high character guys. Kevin Durant just wants to hoop. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think was most frustrating, and he said this, in Brooklyn, is that there were so many distractions, and KD is just a hooper. You know, he just wants to play basketball. So, like, I just think that, you know, it's going to be exciting because Devin's the same way. And we all know that CP3 is, you know, the point guard. So we like to have three guys so focused on wanting to win a championship. I think the sky's the limit, but there's a lot of things to iron out.
Yeah. The thing that Kevin said, and this was to Brian and myself, he said, here, things get taken care of. They get addressed, and it's refreshing, was his end quote, which I looked at Brian, we looked at each other, and I had him on. I said, do you think that was a dig? He's like, I'm still trying to process that one. So I think it was, but that's...
Whether it's a dig or not, I think what I appreciate about Kevin Durant in this, like, I guess you can say second half of his career is just how honest he is. I mean, yeah. I think we want athletes to be this transparent, and he has been very transparent about his like ups and downs and what he's gone through. And I think like Kevin Durant is very honest about like who he is, and you know, like his game and how much he loves playing this game and how much he's a big fan of this game. So I think, you know, when he talked about not regretting anything in his career, I do believe it in the sense because I think when he's on that court, he's present when he gives it everything he has. And that's why I think, you know, things when he separated from the net, it was, you know, on very positive terms because, you know, the Nets saw how hard he worked when he was out there. The Nets saw how much he wanted to win in Brooklyn, but things just didn't work out. And so that's why they made it possible for him to go to his desired team. This was a collective effort. And, you know, I think like that is the biggest compliment you can pay a player is like, We're going to basically, I know not give away because no disrespect to Mikhail and Cam, but we're going to give away one of the greatest players of all time because we know he's not happy here. So we have to move on and we'll let him go to where he wants to go. And I think that's a nod to just the professional that Kevin Durant is. And, you know, the Suns were the beneficiary of it.
I was like chopping it up with you because it gets very real. I like that. No, I'll let you go off that.
Likewise, Brad. Likewise. What else can we be other than real?
Just be real. There's none of this scripted stuff. I mean, come on. Let's just get into it. So be well. Be brilliant on Sunday with Dave and Hubie. Thanks.
You too. Enjoy that dinner with that daughter. Chicago eating.
Chicago.
Ain't nothing like it.
That's it. We're back with more after this timeout. All right. We'll talk about John Wilner and some TV stuff. So Wilner is with us every week. Those of you that watch what we do on Mondays, we have the best of the best in the Pac-12 nationally syndicated columnist. He puts his content on with us, and then he comes on the air. We put him on the TV show and all of that. So John wrote that it's now coming to an end for the Big 12 or that the Pac-12 in terms of deciding on their new television agreement. Next week is the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas. Jordan Hamm will be there for us. As always, we go. It's his first time. He's excited to go. I'm going to stick with the Suns and do some things around them. But I think John is now dialed in and talking with him on the air and off the air that it's probably the best place next week for the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kolovkoff, to say, here's what we're doing. He's been very close to the vest on it. There have been no leaks out of the Pac-12 conference, if you've noticed. I have seen more interest in this story of what's going to happen to the Pac-12. How are we going to see it? Where is it going to go on a business side of sports than probably anything that I've done on this platform in the last since 2012 when we started in terms of just business stuff, business of sports, which I think is always interesting. So John is of the opinion that the Pac-12 will not likely come in at the same number as what the Big 12 is getting in television dollars per school. Okay, you guys like to get all caught up in ASU against U of A and all that stuff. And it's fine. It's fine. But they're all going to have the same pie to share, the same slice of the pie to share. Wilner is saying that the Big 12 will average $31.7 million per school. $31.7 million. All right. The Pac-12 could be at about $28.5 to $34.9 million per school, depending on how all of this shakes out. I think what the Pac-12 has going for it, if I'm to believe what I'm hearing and people whose opinions I respect, not just people sitting and throwing stuff out, I think that the Amazon possibility of the Pac-12 being on Friday nights, as much as I don't like Friday nights because I believe that's high school, times are changing. Media deals are changing. If Amazon can promote through their NFL broadcast on Thursday nights, check out the Pac-12 tomorrow. And tomorrow night, it will be Oregon State against Stanford or Arizona State playing against Cal. Fill it in. I think that's a benefit. Amazon can promote Deion Sanders. You may not like the Deion Sanders acquisition, but that's as big as any move. No offense to Kenny Dillingham. I'm actually going to see Kenny on Monday for something that we're in, both in playing a golf tournament, and we're going to actually be paired up. I think having Deion here obviously moves the needle, and that does help in negotiations, whether people want to admit to it or not. So I would think next week in Vegas, there's got to be something that is said on this because all the media will be assembled. You want to be able to have the biggest splash possible. John believes this is all coming to an end in terms of the negotiations. And so next week, I'm hopeful that there's some business side of sports story in Vegas. The other story is the high school basketball finals are being played tomorrow. I'm going to miss them. I might be here for a while, getting notifications that, yeah, your flight may get canceled. Hotel when I got here, yeah, we have extra rooms in case flights are shut down. Like, okay, here we go. It's just fine. It's part of the deal. I want to be there tomorrow night. Don't know if I'm going to be. Do yourself a favor. If you say you're a basketball fan, just a basketball fan, then find your way over to Veterans Memorial Coliseum tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. You will see a high school player at Desert Vista. Her name is Jersey Robinson. We had Greg Rosenberg on earlier this week about Jersey. She's as good as any freshman that I've seen. You'll see Cody Williams play in the boys 3A or the boys open division final at 5:30. Cody is on Perry. Jersey's on Desert Vista. If you don't know high school basketball at all, just remember, I need to see Desert Vista at 3, according to Brad. I need to see Perry at 5:30, according to Brad, at Veterans Memorial Coliseum. You'll figure it out once you walk in and see her and him walk on the court. It's like, oh, that's who it is I need to see. So that is going on tomorrow as well. And that is it from here. We're going to rest up, head over to the arena tonight. Just got some stuff sent over from the Bulls. Excited to drop on in and watch the Kevin Durant Show Part 2 tonight. You'll follow me over on my social channels. I'll have plenty of content there. I'll put some three dots together after his game, either tonight or tomorrow morning. Our chairman of the board, as always, who steers this ship, is Jared Nielsen. This show repeats over and over. If you missed it, it'll repeat over and over and over. Have yourself a great Friday.